God, give him praise, church. Come on, everybody woke up here. It's the first nice day we've had in April, but everybody just wanted to stay home and work in the yard and all that good stuff, and then you chose to come to God. So I would simply say, don't believe me, believe what I read today. Can I get an amen? Don't believe me, believe God. And if you believe God, then you're going to leave here with something today more than you had. There's a lot of people talking about our Bible. I see it. A lot of schools talking, a lot of colleges talking about what's in this book and what it means. And I can tell you right now by the what they talk, they don't know what's in here, Sergio. They don't know. They think that if God is against something, it's evil. God is telling us how to be safe in our lives. It doesn't, and it tells us one very special thing, to not judge anybody. Amen? So if he's telling us to be what's to write and not to judge, then we leave anything that we see that we disagree with, we leave it alone. We don't hate it. We don't hate anybody. We don't hate anything. We want people to come to know God. And if it's through something in their life that made them come to God, then that's a miracle of God. But I want you to know, and Bernie can attest to it, this book is full of love. This book is full of guidance. It's full of peace. And it's full of joy and strength. And when you get into this book, it touches you. It touches you. You. Who does it touch? You. It touches me because I feel like it's talking to me. Say, yeah, because God knows everything. Say that with me because this is great. God knows everything. 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 Nothing you can do can hide from him. But he loves you. He understands. He knows even the children. He loves, he knows everything, Sandy. So there's nothing, so you might as well talk to him about everything. You might as well share your feelings and your love with him. And you might as well ask him, show your power. But God has also said to you, I've given you power. We need to get on fire. I want to have a starting, I want to have, ask somebody back to church. Maybe even, if I can get one Sunday a month, wouldn't that be a beautiful? Ask somebody to church Sunday. Invite some. Come on, brothers. God bless you. Come on in. Invite somebody to church Sunday. Okay, we tried it for a month and some of it worked, some of it didn't. But it all works because it gets us out there talking to somebody. If you ask five people and they didn't come, Sandy, you know what? You asked five people. So you did something different than you would have done. Amen? So you're starting that. So maybe we'll have one Sunday. We say, ask somebody to come. And listen, if you've been asking somebody and they say, well, I'm going to come, I don't know. Keep up doing it. You don't want to be a pest. You don't want to call them. But you know what? You want to give them something good. Amen? If you had something good for somebody, you'd want to give it to them. Can I get an amen? Then we need to do that with each other. Lift each other up. Let's read together. Our Father in heaven. Come on, everybody. Stand up. Who are we talking to? God. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever and ever. Amen and amen. That's our promise for tomorrow, but we have a promise for today that God will never leave us. Be seated. God has given us power today. Responsive reading, Psalm 30. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me.
O Lord, my God, I cried out to you. You hate me.
Whatever, good. Did you hear that? Whew, I think I got him. O Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave. You have kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit.
Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name.
For his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Thank you, Lord. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning.
Now in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved.
Lord, by your favor, you have made my mountains stand strong. You hid your face, and I was troubled.
I cried out to you, O Lord, and to the Lord I made supplication.
Hear, O Lord, and have mercy on me, Lord. Be my helper. Amen. Be my helper. Sing praises to the Lord. What does it say? Sing. Does anybody sing this morning? Sing praises. I don't mean just with me. We're in the shower singing. Did anybody say, thank you, Lord, in the sound of music? I cried out to you. That's not whispering. That's not hiding. That's an act that people can hear. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Sing and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. And you know, that's why I know. Just have faith with me, please, church. Have faith. We're on the right track. Have faith with me. I'm standing here. But right here it said, I'm going to find where the line where it says saints. Did you guys read that?
Yes.
Sing praises to the Lord, you saints of his.
Yes.
Man has a very special way of anointing people. Amen. Greg, you know what I mean? They make this person a saint, Saint Teresa, Saint Thomas. And that's all well and good. But the Bible said, what says it? The Bible says we are the saints. Karen, you are a sister. You're a saint. And the word saint simply means, if you want to circle it, it means Christian. It means separated apart from, called higher. Amen. You know what I mean by separated? God has seen you. You love God. You're separated from the world. In God's eyes, whose eyes? You, George Marsh, are a saint. You, George Mako, are a saint. The people around you might look like they're crazy, but God said, no, he loves me. He loves my son. He is a saint. We don't go around calling each other names because God is no respecter of titles. You call anything, anybody, whatever you want. But God said that we are his saints. Who are his saints? Hallelujah. Oh, that's okay, guys. We have children in the house. Everybody better be on best behavior. Thank you, Lord. Will you believe me this morning or believe the word of God? That was a trick question. Hallelujah. You have so much power inside you, Joanne. So much power. You're healing with your music. You touch people when you play. That's power. I know how you can use it. You use it. The more you use it, the more people are going to be healed. People, Jim, want to hear about what you have. They want to hear about this church because they're lonely. Your friends are lonely. They don't have a place to go. Friends of ours that we see that dance all the time, they're home this morning lonely, working on each other. We have something that we can give to other people. Your friends, your neighbors, your brothers, your sisters. sisters. We just need to be bold enough to tell others about God. Imagine that, telling others about Jesus. Now, Paul writes a letter in the Bible. It's called Romans. Anybody ever see that letter? It's in the New Testament. It's called Romans. He writes to the Christians in Rome. He hasn't even been there yet, Mary. Do you know? It's 3 years after he writes the letter that he actually goes to Rome. But he's got teachers in Rome. He's got people that he raised up. And he's got other disciples in Rome teaching him about Jesus. It's about 3 years before he gets there. And one of the problems in Rome where the Jewish unbelief was a great stumbling block for the acceptance of Christ. Paul has found out, Pat, that he's building these churches for Jesus in Rome, and it's the Jews who are the stumbling block because they didn't accept Jesus. How many remember what they did to Jesus? That they crucified him, maybe, and they attacked all his believers. Anybody who was a believer, they attacked him because they did not believe that the Messiah had came. So Paul is writing this letter to the Romans. He could be writing this letter to Second Congregational in Derby, Connecticut, because it fits for us. Amen? He writes this, all these things that they had done. And he's telling them. Now the Jews, this is good. It's so cool. He's writing this letter because now the Jews are deciding, well, maybe we should be like Christians, but, say that with me, but. But they're saying, these other people who aren't Jews are calling themselves Christians. And they can't call themselves Christians until they become Jewish first. That's what they're saying. And Paul is like, he's like pulling his hair out. I don't know if he was bald or not. But he's like, what are you doing? He's saying, you couldn't keep the Mosaic law, the laws of Moses. Yet you want my people, you want the people of Jesus to keep the laws that you couldn't keep before they become Christian. They were saying they must follow Jewish tradition and be circumcised. They must keep the laws of Moses in order to be accepted. Who said this? The Jewish nation. They said we had to do this and do the traditions before you could be a Christian. That sound familiar to you? It sounds familiar to me because there's churches that teach you have to do this, 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 and this before you can receive Jesus. Can I get an amen? Anybody ever hear that? You have to follow these laws. You have to follow these traditions. You have to walk like this. You have to sit like this before you ever get to Jesus. Because he's over there and you have to be in the right place. That sound familiar? Traditions were placed ahead of Jesus. Can I get an amen? Even though man could never live up to the laws of Moses, even though, Pat, nobody could live up to this, the Jews were demanding that the Gentiles who weren't Jews live up to this and follow these rules. They could not live up to the laws, and we can never, no matter what we do, no matter what you do, you're standing before God. It's not so much what you have done. Anybody have said, I'm a real good Christian. It doesn't matter what you have done or what you can do. You're standing in front of God, George, is because what God did for you. That's why you're here. That's why you're accepted. Nothing anybody has ever done has been acceptable to God. It's what God did for us that made him part of the family. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So this is what Paul is like. I've got people and I got churches and they're doing really well, and all of a sudden other people are coming and saying, wait a minute, your church isn't right because you don't follow these traditions first. Who's first? God is first, amen? Jesus is first. That's the only tradition we need to follow. We follow him, we follow his teachings, and all things will be added therein. That's what the Bible says. Now I say, you're going to believe me or you're going to believe the Bible? So I need to believe the Bible, amen? I'm trying to trick you again. So listen. Listen to what Paul says. I'm opening in Romans. Listen to how he says, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, the good news of God, which he promised before through his prophets and the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ. Concerning who? Hallelujah. Our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. That's our victory. Through him we have received. Listen to this. Through him, through who? Jesus, we have received. Who has received it? Grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Among how many nations? Among whom you also are called of Jesus Christ. And then he writes, to all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. He's writing this morning to all of you at Second Congregational this morning who are called to be saints. And I just told you what the word saint refers to. You as a Christian, you're called to be a saint. You're separated, amen? Separated from the world because you love who? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. My wife's in her glory now. Thank you, Lord. He writes this letter to us. Listen to what he's telling us. This is you. This is why I'm telling you, you need to be fired up for God. You can't be lukewarm. You can't hold back. You got to stand on it like a rock. You're standing on that rock. You got to be strong. If you're going to church and you're a believer and you know God is good, you got to tell others. You got to be that fire. And listen to what he says right here. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Who are we? Are you really children of God? Yes, you are. You know why? Not because I say so, but because the Word of God says so. Can I get an amen? Amen. You didn't receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, to be weak-kneed, to be worried about every single thing that happens to you. You got a spirit of God inside of you. And if you're children, then you're heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Hallelujah. This is you. This is you, John. This is you. This is the person God made you to be. Whether you want to carry it on or not, whether you want to accept it or not, this is the gift that God has given you. I love this part. Likewise, the Spirit, in capital letters, which refers to what, Bernie? The Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Also, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness. Thank you, Lord. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints. Who are the saints? Hallelujah. According to the will of God. And we know that all things. How many things? Do you know all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose? Sometimes you don't know what you're going to pray, Deacon Sergio. You don't know how to pray, and it's like groanings inside, and your words don't make any sense, but you're praying, and they call it spirit. Anybody hear tongues and the language of tongues? I won't do that today, but I want you to understand that there's power. There's power in speaking in spirit. Sometimes I want you to understand God has given you so many tools. So you're praying and you don't really know what to pray for, but you're urging God to do something. That's the Spirit inside of you. He takes that prayer that you don't even understand and brings it to God's ears for you. That's the power of the Spirit. When you have the indwelling of the Spirit, you say, I don't know what I do. I don't know how to do it, so I get on my knees. Anybody ever been, you don't know how you're going to face what you're going to face, but when you face it, you get through it. Amen? That's the power of God. And that Spirit lives inside of you, each and every one of you. The Holy Spirit is inside of you, yearning for you to reach out and share that message with everybody. Tell them about the grace of God. And what is the grace of God? Unmerited favor. Things we didn't deserve that God gave us. When we sing Amazing Grace in church, we have to understand that God forgave us, so we should what to others? Forgive. Hallelujah. And when we forgive, it's over. Amen. When we forgive, it's over. We pray it, and we pray that others reach that with God and understand how beautiful God is and how wonderful God is. And God does not judge us, and we should not judge each other. And God looks at each and every one of us because he wants the personal relationship with his saints. And who are his saints? Hallelujah. You guys are getting good now. Thank you, Lord. Now you say to me, Pastor, I know you're a pastor and you love God. You must be perfect. Man, I'm far from perfect. I'm humble myself. I am so far from being perfect that I walk each day wondering, God, thank you for calling me. And I humble myself because what I'm doing right now is so humbling because I'm talking for Jesus. I'm talking for God, trying to get you in a different place in your life that you never thought possible. You said, well, but it's hard to do that. Hallelujah. Paul tells us. Who tells us? I would not have known sin except through the law. For I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, you shall not covet. So Paul is saying, before we had this, I didn't know many knew what sin was. We just did whatever. We didn't know that anything was sinful. So Paul is saying, I didn't even know sin except through the law. I wouldn't even have known if covetousness was the law. But he said, but sin taking opportunity by the commandment produced in me all manner of evil desire, for apart from the law, sin was dead. Then he said, I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was brought to life, I found to bring death. For sin taking occasion by the commandment deceived me, and by it killed me spiritually. Therefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. He is saying that when he realized the kind of man he was, he felt like there was no hope. Amen? He just saw these things that he, in himself, his fleshly desires, and he realized that I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. This is good. This might be you. I'm sure it is. Has then, Paul is saying, listen, this is Paul. He's writing to you guys today, Second Congregational. I know he's writing this letter to the Romans, but he's writing to Christians and saints. And who are the saints? Hallelujah. Then he said, what is good became death to me. What good is good become death to me? Certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. Now listen to this. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Can we all agree with that? The law is spiritual, but I am carnal. That means we're all to the flesh, sold under sin. Now listen to what he says here. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. You understand what Paul is going through? He's saying, I'm trying to do the best. I'm trying to be the best. I'm trying to say all the right things. And every time I was like, I can't. I feel like I'm wanting to do something and everything I do is opposite when I'm preaching. Paul has a dilemma. And he's trying to find his way through, saying, I just, and that's like our dilemma here today. You want to tell people, how many want to tell people about God? How many? How many want to have this church full of people who love Jesus and praise Him? Of course we do. But we don't know how. We're wanting to do it, but we're afraid and we don't do that. We don't say the things. We hold back. We will to get everybody here. But when the time comes, it's like, he can't. I asked him once, he ain't coming. You give up, see? That's what it is. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me. I want to tell everybody about God, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Hallelujah. Paul, thank you for being so honest and humble. This is for us. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. Paul says, I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. Can I get an amen for that? That's all of us. We all delight in the law of God according to our spirit. Amen? We all want to do better. We all want to be better Christians. We all want a better life for our family, for our friends. We want to tell others about the good news and bring them closer to God. Give them a new way. But Paul says, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. And he says this, O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of death? And then he says this, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Who does he say? I thank who? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Who can save me? Who can deliver me from this? Who's going to deliver you from this every day? God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. And Romans 8, one of the most beautiful chapters in the Bible. One of the most powerful chapters for us. For who? In this Bible. Remember, when Paul wrote this letter to the Romans, Pat, there was no 8, 7, 6, 5. He just wrote a letter. He wrote a letter from his heart to the Romans, to Christians. And it was man who put the numbers in so we could find our place. When somebody wants to quote a scripture, when somebody wants to, oh, where did you find that? Oh, it was Romans 8 or Romans 7. Oh, okay, I'll go look for it. Otherwise, you'd have to look through the whole book. See, but Romans 8, the eighth part of Romans where they made the eighth chapter, is full of absolute gold for us, for peace for us, for strength for us, for power for us. And who did it come from? God. Hallelujah. Don't believe your pastor believed the word of God. Listen. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Let me read that again because that is so beautiful. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, the law, everybody, what it couldn't do, for what the law could not do, that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Hallelujah. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. It is what? Life and peace. How many want peace? I want peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. For then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit life is life because of righteousness. Hallelujah. The body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Who has the Spirit? We do. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. That's for today. Can I get an amen? We all talking about, we talk about the resurrection, we talk about later, we talk about when Jesus comes back, we talk about paradise. But God has got promises for today, April 22nd, right Walter? Good. April 22nd, 2018. We got promises for today, Sergio. You gotta understand the power that you have. You gotta understand the promises that you have. You gotta understand the God that you love. He's not gonna leave you. He's not gonna forsake you. He's gonna help you. You just gotta be strong. Sometimes it's when you don't see it and you get nervous and you think, oh, this is never gonna happen. It's when God answers. Amen. Sometimes you gotta show yourself. You gotta show Him that you're determined to be the Christian that you wanna be, the man you wanna be, the woman you wanna be. You have to stand even when things don't look right. Now I look at the church and we're a little low on numbers today. Folks are on vacation. Ron's not with Sandy today. Tell him, oh, he said hi. But understand,
Each week, I pray to God to give me a word for you. I don't look at that. I look at God. I said, God is the answer to everything that we do here. God is the answer, and we'll find a way. But we need to be on fire because we've been given that power. We need to tell other people. We need to reach out. We need to not be afraid to show our faith. We need to stand up when somebody attacks us as a Christian and say, that's simply not true. We don't hate anybody. Anybody is welcome through those doors who come searching for Jesus. Let me say that again. Anybody is welcome through those doors because this is His house. Amen? His house. Anybody coming here searching for God is a family with us, is our family. Amen? So we need to tell people that. There's joy here. There's peace. There's laughter in this church. There's unity in this church. I know I say it all the time, but I got to light the fire. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Amen. What then shall we say to these things? Say it with me. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but deliver him up for us all. For how many? All of us. Once for all, he not with him also freely give us all things. Let me read that again. This is so powerful. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? How many things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? That is you. You are God's elect. You are God's saints. You are God's people. You're part of the family of Christ. Can I get an amen? That's you. You're family. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Hallelujah. It is He who condemns. It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? No. Shall distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. 8:37 says this to you, Second Congregational. Everybody sitting in this church this afternoon. This morning, Walter. It says, yet in all things, how many things? All things. In all things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. You are more than conquerors. What is holding you back? What is the fear of hope? What are you afraid of? Why are you hesitating? You've got such great news. You can heal people. You can lift people. You can hold people. You can tell people a better way. We have so many friends and families who need this. Just something where they can go and hear this and understand that they're not alone, that God is with them, that the promise of this book are so beautiful and His love so beautiful. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. And look up the word conqueror, what it means. Over and above. To conquer. The word describes one who is super victorious. Super victorious. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. A lot of accusations against Christians, against the Bible, and God. These are made by people who do not know Him. It's very obvious. People who don't understand the Word. They might have read a word or two and thought that they took somebody else's advice or listened to what everybody else's opinion, but they didn't read this with the Spirit of God. They didn't read it with the peace and the joy of God. So many people coming against us, and we have power. We have power to tell them, to teach them, to show them your faith. You show them your faith by your strength. Hallelujah. This is very clear. The blind shall lead the blind. It is His Spirit that leads us all through truth. Brothers and sisters, that's Romans. That's the book He wrote to Romans. With all the issues that He was facing. He wasn't even there yet. and he wrote to them with his love. And he's writing that book to Second Congregational this morning to tell you to stand up, be strong. You're more than conquerors. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. All things. How many things? Don't be afraid. You need to have them. You need to have confidence in what God has given you. Even if you don't believe right now, it doesn't matter what you believe. God has put that spirit. It doesn't matter what you think in your head. I don't know. God has put that spirit inside of you. He has already done that because you love His Son, because you read this word and you're hearing this word. God is, it doesn't matter what you think. You have it. You have to use it. You have to trust Him. You have to have faith. You have to speak things positive. I told Gladys the other day, I can't wait to see you in church. I said, no, I can't wait to see you in church because my faith says I have to. That's what I believe. I have to say what I believe. Whether people think I'm nuts or not doesn't matter because I'm calling on God. I think things can be better in your house because I'm calling on God and I'm praying for God and I'm praying for your healing and our healing. We all need healing. We all need to walk this walk, but we need to have that strength. People go to church and they ask them how you do it. I don't know how I'm doing. I got this pain. I got that pain. That's not talking faith. Amen. If you got a trouble, you're supposed to tell others so we can pray for you. Amen. That's what we do. We pray for each other. We lift each other up. But you need to be strong. You need to be strong in front of the world so they can say, what do you got? How can you be strong on a day like today? Because you say, I have faith in my God. Not in my religion, not in my pastor, but in the book and my God. I have faith in Him. And you need to tell other people about it. You can heal people today. Do not be afraid. The Bible says you are more than conquerors. You, today, all right, burning, amen, you, today, can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You might not feel it. You might go home and see your husband or your wife and you might have an argument and start thinking, well, that was crazy. But start doing something different. Start just, maybe it's something we said or we did or something we can change. But start believing it. Start seeing it. Say, I'm going to do something different today. I've been saying that. Do something different today. Because if you did the same thing all the other times and you got the same answer, that ought to tell you, it ain't working. Amen? Stand with God. You are His saints. You are. Deacon Chuck, Marilyn, you are His saints. You are the saint. He's looking down from heaven, and these are the words that he's given Paul to write to us. Indian warrior, God loves you. You need to be strong in God and confident in God and have peace in God. That heals people. That heals your body. That heals you and gives you strength to continue. Give Him praise, church. This is just so beautiful. I think she's babysitting someone. Thank you, Lord. If I preach the same thing every Sunday and you finally received it, would that not be a blessing? Sometimes it's one word that moves you to a new place. Sometimes it's one scripture that moves you to a new place. Sometimes it's one thought that gets you to a new place. That's the miracle of God, the miracle of the Bible, the miracle of preaching the good news. I want to see a church full of people on fire for God. A church where other people say, I have to go there. There's something going on there. It's not normal. Absolutely not normal what's going on in that church. I want to be a part of it. I want to help make that church grow because I want to see God grow. And the opportunity to help God grow here is huge. You can do more for God. You can do more for yourself and do more for the family of God that He has blessed us with. All because of Jesus. Hallelujah. We don't need any traditions. We need Jesus. We don't need to follow any traditions. We need Jesus. That's what we need. That's all we need. We need to put Him first. He took the bread, blessed and broke it, told His disciples, this is my body being torn for you. For the remission of your sins, I'm going to stand in the gap. For the chastisement, I'm going to stand in the gap for you. I'm going to do this for you. And they didn't understand, but you do. And we do this in remembrance of Him this morning. Join us this morning. Thank you, Deacon Sergio. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the power. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the Word of God. thank you, Lord. Just thank you for this day. For this day, I am thankful, Lord. This day, I can do great things because you're with me. I can see miracles today, Lord. I can witness to somebody today. I can simply give somebody a smile today that needed a smile. I can touch a shoulder today if somebody just needed a touch. I can tell someone you're welcome here. I can tell someone welcome to our family. Lead them to more strength in their life for their family and their friends. The God of the Bible are so powerful. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. The Bible calls this the Lord's Supper. We simply do this in remembrance of what Jesus did for us. That's what we're doing. In remembrance of what he did for us. He doesn't ask much of us, does he? Just to remember what he did for us. You start thinking about that, you start loving him more. You start wanting more of him around your life and your spirit to glow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Deacon. Do you ever imagine sitting at that table when he did this, what they were thinking? When they were looking around and they were all just having the supper together and Jesus took the bread, he blessed and broke it, saying, "This is my body being torn for you." And he looked at them and said, "Eat and do this in remembrance of me in Jesus' name." Wine, blessed and poured it into a cup, and he said, "This is my blood that will be shed for you. According to the book of Matthew, for the remission of your sins, you will be covered in his blood." He asked us, "Drink and do this in remembrance of him." Thank him this morning, church. Thank him for all he's done for you. Ask him to forgive you this morning for any iniquities, anything. Anything. That you might have said or done or thought, any things. And Paul said, "I will to do and I do what I don't will to do and I don't do what I will to do." Well, just ask God to forgive you for those. Ask him to touch you. Let this heal you. God loves you. He loves you so much. It's never what we can do for God, it's what God did for us. That should make us love him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We don't need to do any tradition to be accepted. We don't have to perform anything to be accepted. We just have to love him. Accept him in your heart. Accept his love. What he did for us. What he's doing for us today. Thank you, Lord. Unmerited favor he showed us, that grace of God. We now live in the covenant of grace. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. God did this for us. He did it for us and anyone who will accept him anytime. ask this church that we do this in remembrance of him this morning. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We don't need any traditions. You don't do anything except love him. We are accepted as saints. We are the elect because the Bible says so. We are children of God because the Bible says so. We are heirs to the kingdom because the Bible says so. I believe it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We'll give you praise in this church. Give him praise, church. Hallelujah. Give him praise like you mean it. Come on. Hallelujah. Like Aaron Judge just hit a grand slam home run or something. And you know. Hey, the reading was good this morning. I remember mentioning to you a couple of weeks ago, we watched that show with Family Feud. And when they don't get the answers and everybody reads the answers and it sounds like the whole place is... I said, they ought to do that in church. I think they did pretty good this morning, Joanne. Getting on fire for the Lord. Hallelujah. God is faithful. Can I get an amen? He really is faithful. Think of where you've been and think of where you are today. Think of all the things he's gotten you through, all the situations you thought were impossible, all the places you went, all the things you did when you were younger, that boy, good thing, nothing bad happened, the places you went, how you went. How we drove and were alone in the woods, right? We're talking to some of my brothers the other day. We spent time in the middle of the woods alone, and so many millions of things could happen, and here we are because God was with us. Amen. We good things, and we have a lot to be thankful for. So much to be thankful for. And we got more to be thankful for as the days in front of us. We just need to get on fire for God. Just trust him. Trust him. Amen. Trust his love and then be strong. Hallelujah. Give him praise one more time, please, church.